Good morning. Morning. My name is Lamo. In a few minutes, Geshe-la will be arriving, but not yet. And when he does, you'll see many of us. Well, we'll ask that everyone stand out of respect for Geshe-la. But then you'll see some people prostrating. And if you've never prostrated before, you're welcome just to remain standing if you like. We'll be saying some prayers in this white prayer book. The first ones will be in the first base sheet. And then after the teaching is over, we'll be saying some prayers in the pink sheet. You may notice if we have an interesting traffic pattern going on outside. So when you're coming into the parking lot or into this to Etta Burke, please be careful not to turn before you see the orange and white barrels, because you might have a head-on collision with the people who are trying to get out of Etta Burke. So if you just go past the first few barrels and then turn to the left, you'll see some space in the road, and then you'll be much closer also to the street. And
I'm assuming Geshe-la is going to continue his teachings on the field of sharp weapons. There's just a few copies of this.
Peacock in the Poison Grove, and also in the wheel training, in the mind training book that's hardbound. And there are copies of this book and the mind training book in the bookstore. Today is Family Sunday, so I'll be reading a story. I didn't memorize it, Dave. I'll be reading it to you. And so the children are welcome to come and sit on the blue cushions, and sort of helps with the flow of traffic also when they sit here, because then they don't take up the seats out in the rest of the Gompa. Geshe-la welcomes questions, any questions that you have, you know, about Buddhism. And there's little sheets of questionnaire papers on the other side of this wall. And, you know, you just write it anonymously and then put it on his music stand, and he will address them right here. If he needs more time to answer them, then, you know, he might answer it next Sunday or whatever, or email you. So, Geshe-la here? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So if you turn to the slide prayer book, if you're sitting in a chair, please get the book behind your chair. And if you're sitting at the pew, it's at the end of the pew. And if you'll turn to the first base sheet at the top, where it says Kadampa Center Prayers, we'll chant Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra three times, then the four measurables in English, and then right below that in Tibetan. Taya ta. Sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Sentient some mantras. So let's chant Tenrengi mantra eight times. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Right above that, green Taurus mantra, seven times. Om Dare Tu Dare Tu Re Soha. 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 And now, since today is Family Sunday, I'll read a story. So today's story is called the. Today's story is called the Banyan Deer. So long ago, far far away, the Buddha was born as a Banyan Deer, and when he grew up, he became the leader or the king of the herd. And he was a very good king. They lived with great safety, way secluded into the forest, shaded by some giant trees. So they were very safe and happy. Now, a new king came into power, and this king loved to go hunting. As soon as the sun rose up, he would gather all his huntsmen, and with their bows and arrows, they would go out to the fields and into the forests and the meadows, and he would shoot with his men all the animals out there until the wagons were full of monkeys and deer and lions and leopards and boars and bears. And then, the king was very happy. But the people in the kingdom were not happy because the fields were trampled by the men and by the animals that were trying to run away. So they made a big enclosure, went into a great big field, and they put a very big stockade fence around it so the animals couldn't get away. And then they captured many herds of deer, many deer, and they chased them into this enclosure and locked the door, so they were trapped in there. And one of the herds was the herd of the Banyan deer. Now, when the king saw the stockade, and he liked it, and he said, "Oh, I see two deer king in there. They're magnificent animals. No one is to harm them." And, of course, one of them was the Banyan deer. And then he grabbed his bow and he started shooting arrows in the air toward the animals. And so the animals, the deer, were very frightened. They didn't want to get hit by the arrows. So they started running away and running into each other. And they got hurt by their hooves and their antlers. And so every few days the king would go into the stockade area. And with his men they would shoot the animals. So the Banyan deer was very sad. He shook his head and he went over to the other deer king and he said, "We're trapped. Many deer are getting hurt needlessly trying to escape from the arrows." So he said, "Let's have a lottery. Every day, each day, all the deer, one day from your herd and one day from our herd, will draw straws. And the deer that draws the shortest straw will be the one that will be shot." He said, "This is a terrible solution, but at least that will decrease the number of deer that will get hurt." And so the other deer king agreed. And so that's what happened. There was only one deer that got shot each day, and the men only shot the one deer. Then one day, the one who got the short straw was a doe, a female deer, a mother, and she was going to have a baby. So she went to the deer king and said, "Please, you know, I'm willing to get, to be the one that shot, but if I do, then my baby will die. I'm willing to be the one that shot, but can you please wait until my fawn is born?" And so the deer king said, "No, this is the law, no exception, sorry, can't do that." So she went over to the Banyan deer and explained her situation. And then the Banyan deer agreed and said, "You're right. The terms of the lottery is that only one should die. Therefore, you shall be freed from the lottery until your fawn is born. I will take care of it." And so he went over to take her place. And the king saw this and said, he said, "Why are you here? I freed you from the hunt." And then the Banyan deer said, "Great king, What ruler can be free if the people suffer? Today a doe with the fawn asked for my aid, and the lottery had fallen on her, and both she and her unborn fawn were to die, and the lottery requires that only one should die. I shall take her place. This is my right and my duty as a king. And then the king said, Noble Banyan, dear, you're right. A king should care for the least of his subjects. So I shall give you a gift, a teacher's fee, for a lesson you have taught me. You and your whole herd are freed. No one shall hunt you again. Go and live with peace. But the Banyan deer said, Great king, that is indeed a noble gift. But I can't leave yet. If I depart to safety with my own herd, then the remaining herd will suffer all the more. Each day you will kill only them. While I desire above all the safety of my people, I cannot bide at the cost of the suffering of others. Imagine their sufferings and let them go too. So the king smiled and said, Never have I seen such nobility and such concern. How can I refuse you? You shall have your wish, so the other herd may go free. Now can you go off and with your herd and be at peace? But the Banyan deer answered, No, great king, I cannot. I think of all the other wild four-footed creatures. Like them, I have lived my life surrounded by dangers and fears. How could I live in peace knowing the terrors they must endure? You are right, great king, said the king of men at last. Never again in all my realm shall any four-footed creatures be slain. They are all free from my hunt. Deer, boar, lions, leopards, tiger, all. Never again shall they fall unto to my huntsman's arrows. So my teacher, have you now found peace? But the Banyan deer said, No, great king, I cannot. The birds, great king, live surrounded by a net of danger. Stones and arrows shall greet them now wherever they fly. They shall fall from the skies like rain throughout your kingdom. They shall know such suffering as can hardly be imagined. Oh, great king, let the birds go free. Release them also. Great king, said the king of men, you drive a hard bargain and are determined, it seems to be, to make farmers of us all. But yes, I shall free the birds. They may now fly freely throughout my kingdom. They may build their nests in peace. Now are you satisfied? Are you at last at peace? Great king, answered the Banyan deer, think of the silent ones of your realm, the fish. If I do not speak for them, who will? While they swim the lakes and the streams and the rivers within your land, hooks, necks, and spears will ever be poised above them. How can I have peace while they abide in such danger? Great king, spare them as well. Noble being, said the king of men, compassionate one, never before have I been moved to think in such a way. But yes, I do so agree. The fish, too, are of my kingdom, and they, too, shall be free. They shall swim throughout my land, and no one shall kill them again. And then he turned to all his attendants and his men and said, Hear my words. From this day forth, all beings in my realm shall be recognized as my own dear subjects. None shall be trapped, hunted, or killed. This is my lasting decree. See to it that it is fulfilled. And the king said, Now are you at peace? And then he looked around and he saw the birds were singing in the trees and the deer were nibbling the grass. And so he said, Yes, now I am at peace. And so he gathered the rest of the herd and they left the stockade. And the king had a stone statue of the Banyan deer constructed, and underneath he put a sign, Homage to the noble Banyan deer, compassionate teacher of kings. And then the king of men lived, also lived on, caring wisely for all things. The end. So let's do our special dedication. On the very short one, on the pink page, where the dedication verses from Master Shantideva, just the first two stanzas. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. Okay. So thank you for listening. The children are free to go because we already said our mantras. If you've never been to a class, would you please accompany your child and fill out a survey form and find out where to meet them after class? Today is Sunday, December the 9th, 2012. Sunday teachings by Geshe-la.
Vertical to yoga. Yoga, yoga.
So we're going to do some laughing yoga.
Laughing yoga, which is not a traditional Tibetan meditation. However, it's one that's become quite popular. So it starts with just a loosening up by shaking out your arms next to you, kind of loosen up your shoulders. And then we're going to take three deep breaths, and at the end of the third breath, as you exhale, you just laugh as hard as you can. And we'll all be doing it, so no need to be embarrassed. So.
Maybe somebody volunteered to lead the meditations, nine round breathing meditations. And, voluntary, no voluntary. No, Sarah, you lead, then you lead. Yeah. With the explanation, okay, please. With the explanation.
So, the nine-round breathing meditation, the first thing you want to do is check your seating posture. So if you're seated in a chair with your back straight and feet flat on the floor, if you're seated on the floor, your legs in a comfortable position, typically crossed, and with your back straight, arms sort of open, with your hands in your lap. The traditional position is with your left hand on top of the right and thumbs touching. But we're going to be using our hands in the nine-round breathing meditation, so you can just rest them on your knees if you like. And your head should be slightly tilted forward. And typically the eyes are slightly closed to avoid some distractions. And then as we begin the meditation, we'll be doing a set of three breaths each. So you begin with the right hand, and you use the left hand. Thank you, Geshe-la. Left hand, and you use the ring finger, and you close the left nostril. I'll turn around so you can see me a little better. You close the left nostril, and you begin by breathing out, and then you breathe
in.
Yeah. Sorry, Geshe-la. I'm not a very good student.
No, you are best.
So you breathe in, and then you switch to the other nostril, and you breathe out. And you do that. We'll do this in just a minute. So you do that three times. Then you switch hands. And again, using the ring finger, you close the right nostril. And you breathe in. Switch out. And you repeat that three times. And then you just breathe in and out three times from your nose. Deep breaths. So we'll begin, beginning with your left hand, breathing in,
wonderful job. Just go. I think the reason I'm explaining these meditations, so these are not only meditations in Buddhism. There's many more complicated meditations. So I choose this because I thought, better to do something than nothing. Thinking, oh, there's too much, too many, too complicated, too deep, I'm not going to do meditations. So that's why, if you want to learn more complicated meditation, there are many, many meditations. So more than happy to teach or explain. No? So this one, I thought, that life gets so busy. Your life gets so busy. Maybe I should explain to you something very simple that you can do in daily basis. So, so then when I explain, please, if it's not clear, raise your hand. So I'm more than happy to repeat again and again, again and again, again and again. Okay. Okay, it's very, very important that so that probably you have so many things to do. There's so many things to take care of. Then you come to Kadamba Center, maybe hoping to learn something. I feel responsibility, I feel responsibility. So then if you learn something, so then I think your time is well, I think, spent. So those meditations have been taught long time ago, probably 1,000 years ago. So I'm just, repeating those meditations. So this 9-round breathing meditations one of the obstacles in order to do productive meditations, if you don't remember instructions clearly, so then, that's another obstacle. So I'm going to demonstrate again the meditations. So then I'm hoping that, you will do some form of meditation in daily basis will benefit you. Otherwise, when the problem occur, whether it's physical, mental, especially the mental problems, I think that we need some tools to help ourselves. So, as a Buddhist monk, then meditation, I believe the meditation will help. So, so this 9-round breathing meditations. So maybe some of you heard probably more than 100 times. Like you and you. So I want you to learn, like this. It will be good to learn, So when we do, then make sure that you remember the instruction how to do. So this 9-round breathing meditation, or there's no 3 sets, no 3 times 3, the 3 sets. So purpose of this meditation is to get rid of the wasteful energy that's been created, not being focused, not being concentrated. So that energy, as I said, energy, you cannot separate mind and energy. You cannot separate. So this goes all the time, you know, together. Jubachik, lung, same jubachik, lung, energy, same mind, jubachik means they go together. You cannot separate them. So, not being concentrating, that, you know, imbalance the energy, the mind that comes with the mind. More of that imbalanced energies, they go through the channels. So that create physical discomfort. So that has negative impact on your mind. Then, you know, sometimes that you are not happy, that you don't see any reasons. You know? So that's why this 9-round breathing meditation is to get rid of that. You know? That's like many of them probably stuck into our channels. So there's a way to get rid of them is to through this 9-round breathing meditation. Okay? You can share this with your kids, your friends, your co-worker. You don't need to say any prayer. You just, you know, sit. The how this wasteful energy has been created is because not being concentrating in daily basis. You know, because this mind has been, divided in 100 different to 100 different objects, and thinking about something here, thinking of, you know, so like you see, you know, every day how many times the mind thinks. Every moment is thinking something, you know, like, so I think His Holiness said, you know, this like when you do that, and there's like so many different small creeks, you know, but each creek doesn't have power. When you try to pull them together, that's when you concentrate, you know. So that's one way to get rid of other thought. Rather than saying, oh, sit still, think nothing. That's not easy. Very nice to say something like that, but, you know, it's not easy to do. So the only way you think something very precisely and you penetrate, that's the way to get rid of other thought. You have to think. You cannot just think. You know, you can just simply... How you can think nothing? That's, you know, it's difficult. So anyway, you know, Lungro Guru says, so first, you know, left hand, please, left hand, block the left nostril, inhale from right nostril, then the nose needs to be clean, but anyway, so that's one, right? So then again, two, again, that's three set, that's not three set. So then the second one, right hand, then inhale, that's six. So now from both nostrils, that's nine. So then probably one is not enough. One set is not enough. You can do it again, you know. You can do this 9-round breathing meditation a couple of times. So first, left hand, right? Left hand below the left nostril. Inhale from the right nostril. Right hand below the right nostril. inhale from the left nostril. That's six. So now from the both nostril. Whenever you feel like, say, feeling sad or maybe like unhappy, please try this meditation and see will it work. You know. So then, you know, when you do meditation, then you get benefit. Instead of, you know, me doing meditations and hoping that will benefit you. So that's quite difficult. I'm not sure how it will benefit. You know. So then, that's why knowledge is like powerful weapons. Is capable to destroy all the, you know, sufferings. It's like light. You know, it's like the medicine without side effect. There's a knowledge. So we need to learn, you know. So then I think it's important because to sit straight, you know, when you do this meditation, it's important to sit straight. Otherwise, you know, because the channels, you know, when your body is straight, Liu Tona, Liu means body. If the body is straight, satrong, then channel is going to be straight. Satrong, then, you know, then energy can flow through easily. So this has all been said 1,000 years ago. I'm just here repeating them. Then hoping, same time, hoping that you will learn something. You know. So, sande jishi. Sande is concentrations. Qixi means concentration makes your mind calm, peaceful. That's been said. Sande qixi. So now, concentration makes your mind calm, shiwa, peaceful. Calm, it makes your mind calm. Sande qixi. Lo yi tol, then the wisdom will liberate it. Not just simple prayer or simple wish, wisdom will liberate it. That's, you know, last two perfections, among six perfections, last two perfections. Perfection of concentration, perfection of wisdoms. Concentrations create or make your mind, create the peaceful mind or make your mind calm and relaxed. I think if your mind is peaceful, then you are relaxed, I think. Am I right? Yeah. So that's important, you know. Sande qixi, it's been said 1,000 years ago. So do you try? You are fully capable to try. You concentrate and see if that makes your mind calm. So then he's already said, you know, we learn and we try. If it doesn't work, so then those teachings need to be closed and sealed. Then on, nobody will use. So now the ninth round was, you know, get rid of, okay, wasteful energy, get rid of. So now questions, how this has been created? Not being concentrating, that's why this wasteful energy, this energy been waste. So that energy goes through the channels, we cannot stop. So there's no choice, you know, energy, whether it's useful, balance, imbalance, wasteful, it will go through our channels. So, so channels, as I said, you know, I only know the numbers, but I don't know each one of them. I don't know them details, but you know, there's like 72,000 channels that's been located in our body. 72,000 channels. So, I just know the number. Don't know the details. You know. So there's kind of amazing. There's how many channels have been, you know. Then out of that, there are three main channels close to the back. Three main channels close to the back. So there's, you know, there are meditations because energy doesn't have color and shape. So people make shape, some shape, whether it's like dot or letter or anything shape, they make shape. and they are concentrated on that. So then they're trying to push that energy into the three main channels, which is now, in my case, is completely blocked. So that's the whole idea about yoga. You know, yoga is all idea about that. So this is how this wasteful, I'm repeating this to make sure that you learn, you know, how this wasteful energy is created, not being concentrated. When you concentrate, then you balance energy, you make this energy more useful. Okay, so now the second meditation. So I'm supposed to read this mind changing textbook, this book, but this every method in this book is difficult to practice, not easy. Compared to that, this meditation is easy to do. So now, here, we are going to use our own breath as a object. Okay, object. Your mind, our mind, is like elephant. Yiji Langbo, elephant. Maybe I think it's good, you know, like in the morning when people they meditate here, maybe practice this, you know, these two meditations, practice. I think it's good that we practice some instruction that's been taught, which has, how is it, which has origin, you know. It's been taught, it's been tested, and produced great result. If we follow that kind of instructions, more likely we will produce some result. So maybe, like, before the Sunday class, there are some meditations. Whether, you know, I think it's much better, in my opinion, but you are the one who's going to make the decision. In my opinion, to follow some instructions that has, you know, origin. So rather than just come here, sit, you know, sit there, and I'm not sure. So, like, in order to do productive meditation, I think we need some instructions. So I thought, in my opinion, it will be good if people, you know, do these two meditations, rotate, and then maybe you lead, somebody leads. The teaching is the best way to learn. You teach, then you learn, you know. So that's the mutual benefit. So I think it's good to do, you know, these two meditations, okay? So now the second one. So, yeah, if you heard this many times, then please check up other people. Then you please know, or you can listen, or you can take short nap. So I will not look at you, so I know you heard this many times. So anyway, Uma Nyingbo, there's one of the texts called Essence of Middle Way. That's the name of the text, Essence of Middle Way, composed by one of the Indian masters many thousand years ago. Probably close to 1,000 years ago. Or before Lama Tsongkhapa's, Uma Nyingbo, in that text, it says, it explains very clearly why we need to concentrate, okay? Yi Ji Langbo, Dowa Las. Yi, the mind, is like elephant. It's on the move. So now you see, when you wake up, amazing, you know, like, even you cannot count how many thoughts that just pop up. Some of them are not, you know, not that important. They just come up, you know, like, it's hard to give examples. We need you to wake up. So then idea is, you know, to wake up with some level of concentrations, you know, focusing on something positive. You know. So Yi Ji Langbo Dowa Las, you know, the elephant like mind is on the move. So now we understand what it means, you know, Yi Langbo Dowa Las. Mikbe kawa tembo las. So mikba na object has to be steady, because the elephant is so powerful that the hitching post has to be strong and steady, because what you are going to do, you are trying to tie that elephant on that. So make sure the elephant is not on the move. Make sure that you tie elephant there. Iji langbo do la. Mikbe kawa tembo la. Mikba object, kawa pillar, tembo steady. Steady pillars mean. No, hitching pose. Chembe tapas, chemba mindfulness. It's like rope. That you have, I have, everybody have mindfulness, like rope. that mindfulness, like rope, that you use that tie that elephant. How do you say? make sure tie well. We don't have the vision. Share of chapters. Now the wisdom. The wisdom is like the, piece of instrument they use in India when they train elephant, when they use elephant. If you want the elephant go on the left, then you poke on the right. If you want to go the elephant on the right, then you poke on the left, on the ear. That's how you guide an elephant. So this, in this case, is like wisdoms. You are meditating, but part of your mind is fully aware and overviewing the whole process of meditations. That's called wisdom. Sherab Chaju, Rim Wang Cha means eventually, step by step, with mindfulness like rope, object like, hitching post, then wisdom like the tools, and you, the elephant. Sherab Chaju, Rim Wang Cha. In the beginning, if you use this piece of tools and like wisdom, you may be not be successful, but Rim Wang Cha means eventually that you can control the mind, eventually. Okay? Is it clear now? It's clear?
What is the second meditation?
Yeah, second meditation. Now we are going to use our own breath as an object, okay? That's hitching pose, our own breath. You can just visualize sunflower, that can be object. You can visualize waterfall, that can be object. The point is, make sure the elephant is with the waterfall, with the sunflower, with whatever it is, make sure elephant is with that. So that's how you concentrate. Why? I like to have calm mind, peaceful mind. You can do that through, if you're thinking so many things, your mind cannot be calm. How? It cannot be calm. According to the ancient instructions, that's what they said. The only way you can make your mind calm and peaceful, you think something precisely. And keep your elephant with that. So that's the one way to make your mind calm and peaceful. Now question is, why I'm unsettled? My mind is not calm, not relaxed. Why? You think about why? Because so many thoughts is there going on. That's why. Not because of coffee. Not because there's so. I don't think it's coffee. So we like to blame something. We like to. It's not me because it's something else. So then when you drink coffee, when you don't drink coffee, next day, the same. So then you say, that's not the coffee, maybe something else, So that, something every day. As I said, this mind that you wish to have more calm, the elephant that you use, the elephant is more calm, peaceful, relaxed. But don't know how. The elephant is so powerful, So now only things, through concentrations. So in this case, what we do, we concentrate on our breath. So that's no object, okay? So what do you do? Exhale from the mouth. Inhale from the nose. One. Each time when you inhale, you count. Exhale, inhale, there's two. Exhale, inhale, there's three. So we do that 21 times. Okay? So as I said, then you can do many times, 21 set, we can relax, then you do it again 21 times. So then that's good. Then we all learn something. Then you try something which has, lineage. This come from like 100 years ago, okay? So, as I said, it's important to sit straight, whether you are sitting on the chair, make sure your back is straight. If you sit like Italian pasta, then that's not good, very good. You know, Italian pasta? Yeah. When you cook, before you cook the pasta, it's kind of straight. When you cook, then it's all go like... because, you know, body has to be straight. Why? Because that channel has to be straight. Why is important to channel to have been straight? Because energy needs to be run, you know, through channel. So in this case, so now, first exhale, inhale. We'll do this 21 times. Okay. Then please, please, count 21 times without mistake. Then if you make a mistake, if you're not sure it's 9 or 8, then go back to score one, square one. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll start, okay? What do you think? Everybody understand? Yeah. So this is more like, you know, this is class to learn something. Learn, we, you know, together we learn something. Yeah.
I was just going to ask during the visualization, during focusing on the breath.
Mm-hmm.
With inhale and exhale, is there any level of visualization of the air moving, the energy moving?
You can use some visualizations. You know, you can use visualizations, like say the positive energy in. You can say light in, smoke out. That's the kind of visualization you can use. You know, positive energies all coming in the white light. The negative energy is going out of the smoke. This kind of visualization. Also, if you want more complicated, then you can join that with Tonglen practice, giving and taking practice. You can also conjoin your breathing. So, and please try that. You know, meditations. Word meditation in Tibetan is called Gom, means becoming familiar. You can't become familiar with nothingness. Huh? You have to become familiar with something. So there's something in this case is instructions. So then you do it again and again. There's two meditations. You can do it again and again. So I think I taught four different types of meditation. I've been teaching that last, I'm not sure, couple of months. So, and I really want you to able to lead those four meditations, you know, in the future, you know. So instead of saying, just come down, so you have to tell them how. You can't just say, come down, you know. That's not easy to come down. Yeah. So you have to teach them how to come down. And there's, you know, next to meditation, I think probably is too much today. So, you know, if I'm also concerned, if I explain too many in one time, then it all can screw up, kind of mix up. So next to meditation is like, if your mind wanders, you know, still your mind wanders, so then there's forceful method how to stop that. Maybe next time, if there's time. Then there's one, last one, that's like, how you say, it's called mixing your mind with the space. With the space. Mixing your mind with space. That means, you know, through the meditations, if you're kind of like, you know, sometimes you sit there and you are not quite sure that you are kind of sleeping or not really sleeping, and you are not really fully awake, but you are still sitting there. So that's called thinking mind. What is happening is like you are living with thinking mind. And gross thinking mind, then you will feel, you know, your head drops down. Or subtle thinking mind, your head is still like this, but it looks like that you are meditating, but actually you are not really sleeping, but not really fully awake in the between. So that's called subtle thinking mind. So this meditation will help to lift up your spirit, you know. So that's why mixing your mind and energy with the space. So that's the last meditation. So I explained that by a couple of months. I'm not sure that you remember. So one way to remember, if you do it on a daily basis, you know, these 9-round breathing meditations, at first, go to do the 9-round breathing meditations. Then after that, that's like getting rid of all this wasteful energy has been stuck in the channels. So then, second one, 21 breathing meditations, that you trying to create or balance the energies that go that will go through your channels. Then you know, concentrate. Then think about elephant, the hitching post, the rope, then the tools. We have four. Then you, there's five of them. You, elephant, rope, hitching post, the tools. That's how you're going to tie that elephant to the object. Why? Because that produces calm mind, peaceful mind. That's according to ancient Buddhist instructions, how to calm yourself, how to create peaceful mind. That's the instruction that's been given. So, you know, I think worthwhile to try. So then, it will probably take 10 minutes. If you do two of them slowly, it takes 10 minutes. So then I think it's impossible not to have 10 minutes for, you know, to create calm mind, okay? So that's knowledge. Important, that's knowledge. You know? Rather than just faith or simple prayer. This is knowledge. Then you learn something, then you do. Then, according to the definition of the meditations, you don't just stop. Do one time, so once a while, when sun is snow, that when there's no sun, weather's kind of wet, cloudy, kind of depressed, then you remember meditations. Then when weather's very nice, beautiful, then you don't remember meditations. So then there's no good, you know. Because the mind is there all the time. I said many times, this is like permanent roommate that you have. You can't get rid of, you know, you have to live with your mind, you know?
I'm sorry.
Just one question, because I'm curious. Like with nine round breathing meditation, you say we should start with the left.
Left.
Now, why is it left hand? And if we start with the right, is that wrong?
If you don't start with the left hand, more likely you are not going to do the meditation.
Okay. I know, because everything has a reason, right? So I was wondering what was the reason why the left.
I think when you do this meditation 100,000 times, then you will know the reason.
Okay.
If you do this meditation 100,000 times, then you will know why it's left hand. I never asked this question, so I don't have.
I'm just wondering. Sometimes I mix up. I do it with the right, and so I was wondering. I know everything's supposed to have a reason.
I really don't have answer. I really don't know. I really don't know.
I'll meditate.
How's the labor yaman goes? But certain kids, you know, there's like certain things that, you know, start with the left, so and there's reason. So I'm not sure about this nine round meditation. So I'll ask my teachers. Okay. So I don't know. Sorry, I don't know.
It's okay.
Yeah.
What is the difference
between you and the elephant? The you is not the elephant. The myself, I am. That's also leads to another complicated, you know, not complicated, means kind of deeper level of, you know, discussions, like how you define self. Then it clearly shows, you know, my mind is not really calm today. So that clearly shows that you are not mind. My hand is hurting. That clearly shows you are not your body, you know. So then what is self? So then according to Buddhism, according to the Pasantika system, then this comes down like mere self. Then you just merely label on the aggregate John. So that is John. It's not the body, it's not the mind, it's not the continuation of mind, it's not the feeling, it's not the consciousness. It is, you know, it is, then when you dig deeper, then it comes down like mere John or mere Elizabeth. What is that? That's just the label, something five aggregate you just call. You know, before you are not Elizabeth, when you're born as Elizabeth, you're born as a human being, then somebody decide to name you Elizabeth, then after that you become Elizabeth. But that very level is put on your aggregates. So my mind, so that's important to distinguish between my mind, my actions. No, your action is not yourself. Your mind is not yourself. You know, mind can be sometimes positive, sometimes negative, sometimes calm, sometimes not calm. No, so this is very important. No, I am going to confess my action. Not I'm going to confess me. That doesn't make sense. So that clearly shows. That's an important part of the also message. You know, you see the action as a problem, not the person's. The persons can be better. But the action, unfortunately, in that moment, actions like the force of negative mind, so the action is turns into something negative. That does not mean that person is negative. That person is going to be enlightened sooner or later. So, to be in Nimottatiji, Buddha sees the deed or the action as a problem, not the persons. So then person is, you know, able to be enlightened sooner or later. Okay. So then, There's 10 minutes left. There's a couple of questions, so maybe do the question. Huh? So the books that we have been reading is like Wheel of Sharp Weapon. Wheel of Sharp Weapon. That's Mind Control. So I only finished 11 stanzas. There's many more to go, many more to cover. So then this morning, hoping that I will probably cover some of those. Now there's only 10 minutes left. So this one, so the question here, what does it mean to cherish others? When we recite the four immeasurable, it says not to have attachment to friends. What is the difference between cherishing others and being attached? A very good question. So, very good questions. And probably... when we say word attachment, that's like, think about like lasso. Shabbat. Lasso is to, you know, catch something. Not just catch, but make sure that doesn't get out of the trail. So example, you know, like cherishing pizza. Do people cherish pizza? I'm not sure. Huh? Do people cherish pizza? Huh? Yeah, so I do. Anyway. So there's nothing wrong, you know, cherishing pizza. You like pizza because you, you know, enjoy the thick crust, you know, very, very tasty, very delicious. Now the question is, liking pizza, desire for pizza, then attachment to pizza, what's different? Attachment to pizza, you know, like this, not just pizza, you know, it has to be Papa John. You know, so not all kind of pizza, that I have to have Papa John pizza. And that is like, you know, very precise, very particular, then you are kind of basically bind yourself, you know, with just Papa John pizza, not just pizza. So like that's very like, you glue yourself with the super glue, with something. Then when you trying to take out, it's kind of painful. Because, what it means is not being flexible. You know? So say we are attached to our plan, our idea, our way of thinking, our way of doing things, way of putting things, you know, where should things go. And then when you look very closely, some of them you can be flexible, but you are not being flexible because why you are kind of super glue on that. You know, say in the kitchens, you know, all these cups, this is not glass, this is a cup. This cup should go this drawer, all the cup, that's where the cup should go. But you just made it up, go here. Then the glass should go here. So then you have guests. They put glass in the drawer where they're supposed to put the cup in the glass drawer. Then sometimes you see the plate in the glass drawer, that's even worse. So then you see, you know, when you are looking for your cup, all of a sudden you look, and you look one place, that's your mind's programs, that's your, you know, the rules, then you don't see your cups. So then that's the beginning of the mental exercise. So now, before that, you are fine. You are kind of happy, thinking about to drink some nice coffee, looking for your cup. Look, then you see how your mind is now. You know, it's very important to look at your mental state. Then you look, cup is not there. Then you look, it's not there. Then you couldn't find. So now, if you have roommate, so now, if there's no roommate, then probably that's your mistake. So probably you put somewhere else. Then it's a little better. If you have roommate, immediately you think, okay, give you a sample. That's what I do. So that's what we do. Oh, give example. Not thinking, you know, that's me. You know, so sometimes it kind of embarrass you because it turns out the other person points you, that's your fault. Then they say, okay, not big deal. You know? So it's really like being attached. Then you see, then it goes on. And how come that you don't understand to put the cup there? Why put? the cup is good, then this goes on and on like that, like that, you know, like being attached to certain things. What it means, not being flexible, you know, so like certain food, not being flexible, then it causes pain, problems, especially when you go to the country where you travel, you can't have that, you know. So then that's called attachments like that, you know. So now here, so that means that you have this concept of permanent. And that's not good because no concept, everything changes, weather change, season change, people change, you know, the cell in the body change every day. There's new cells born. Everything changes. There's nothing that lasts forever. Everything changes. So when you become attached, so then you come up with this concept that should not change. Then when you change, then we get freaked out. So the Shakyamuni Buddha saying, so this is, there's nothing wrong that you enjoy and think this is not really reliable. It's like unreliable beautiful, unreliable excellence, unreliable tasty, unreliable, you know. This is all unreliable. You can't rely, you cannot totally rely all your happiness on that because these things will change. So especially when it comes down to person, can you imagine that dealing with, that's hard enough to deal with one consciousness, one mind. It's not that easy to take care. So then, controlling other minds, can you imagine that? That's not easy, no? So now it's amazing that we get lungs. That's kind of miracle. Because now we have two different set of minds. And everybody, according to Buddhism, everybody is living on their own karma. That's how this functioning. Everything is functioning based on their own karma. We can't really fix everything because there's reason. We can't change everything because there's reason. So then, at the attachment that comes with the concept of permanent, not impermanent. So if you right from the beginning, if you think, okay, I can enjoy as much as I can with you know, good hope, and hope, you know, so that if we change, you know, like flower, it's very fresh, first day, and knowing this is not going to last forever, you enjoy, and it will change. It will change. Everything changes. So then I think, don't you think that attachment is like, you are very precise, then you know, oh, look at this, it's very beautiful, look at the color, the shape, the top, and everything, you know, then you come exaggerated, that's how you bind tighter and tighter and tighter when something happens. Then there's no good, then you will be suffering. So maybe some of you can say something, you know, like cherishing others, cherishing. Because there's a Tibetan word, jebar sung. That also needs, you know, some reason. You can't just cherish others, how you can cherish. And this needs some reasons. In Buddhism, you know, you think about the kindness of all, you know, living beings, you know. So that's why these instructions, everything, everybody could have been like my brother, my sister, my mother, my father, my niece, my nephew, everything could have been like that. Then each time when they become like that, then we have close bound. So now, please find ways to, you know, it needs reason. You can't just say, okay, cherish other, how? You know, that's why this meditation is called recognizing that all being has been, some lifetime has been my mother. When they become my mother, then they cherish me so much. I get so much out of them. So now, if you're having problem with that idea, so now the bottom line is, to find out why, the reason why we should cherish others, why. So now when we look at, you know, every pleasure that we enjoy, you know, if you look at, some once a while we think about that, but most of the time, unfortunately, it's not there. But once a while, you know, the food that we eat, the clothes that we wear, No, there are so many efforts that have been put together because of that. Nice road, clean air, fresh water, you know, nice park. It's all done collectively. Everybody plays important roles for our happiness. You know? So then through that, then you kind of, as I said, knowledge. Then through that knowledge, then you learn cherishing other, you know, cherishing other is important. So actually, we've been cherishing ourselves, in my case, more than 40 years, not really concrete result. So then cherishing others, that's what really happiness begins. You know, if you think, you know, if not cherishing others, just to be part of that. If your friend is very happy, then you say, oh, why? Today is a little bit different. You are so happy, high up, with just questions. Instead of saying, okay, that's great. That's what I hope. You know? And we're great, you know, did you do some drugs because you are so high today? All kinds of things. They get jealous of this. So that's no good. So so my here, the understanding of attachment has some kind of, you know, concept of permanent and binding yourself very closely. So then something probably needs to be discussed. Okay. So this is how we can best benefit those who are struggling in Tibet. I'm very upset all the those who are setting themselves on fire. So this is very unfortunate. So so I'm hoping, you know, that December 10th, there's like worldwide that Tibetan exile government asking all the Tibetan people to do something. So I'm hoping to do this Monday here, the Kathama said maybe in the evening, so I'm going to talk to Sarah about that. No, entire Tibetan culture is very much rooted in Buddhism, which teach you nonviolence. So this question has been raised many times. It's also very painful for me. So there's really nothing that, as a Tibetan, there's nothing really I can do. You know, and it's very sad. And I'm praying every day, you know, they will stop. They will stop, you know, self-immolating. So now it's like almost 100.
Yes, 93. Yes,
yeah, so every day is like kind of painful. So that clearly also one way that shows, you know, so these people are sacrificing their life. They could kill 100 Chinese people easily because they are sacrificing their life. But they are not doing that. They're just expressing their pain. They've been living long time. You know, the things they cannot express. The freedom of speech. That's the more important thing, freedom of speech, which to see His Holiness Dalai Lama back in Tibet. There's, you know, then another, like, the free to practice what they believe. Simple human right. So now that there's the last resource that's been left. So, unfortunately, every day I'm praying every day, and you know, I read the news and see one person, you know, self-immolated. Then a second day, hoping there's another one. And most of them, these are monks and nuns, young monks and nuns. A lot of them, monks and nuns, you know. So, very painful to watch the news, see the news. So, the Tibetan FBI government is asking every Tibetan people to do something. So maybe Monday, you know, so... the exile Tibetan government created some like 10 minute documentary, some kind of short clips. Then probably I'll show that, you know. So then what we'll do, we'll say some prayers and that clip that they're showing where to help. So American government, American people throughout the university, also, you know, country has been, you know, helped many years. So we Tibetans are very, very grateful. So I remember I was also one of the persons who received your aid, your government aid. That means actually for your tax money. So when I was a young boy in the monastery, when I was 10, 11, 12, I remember eating the food that you sent all the way to the monastery, like oil and some grant, you know, there's some like kind of like samba, you know. So I remember that the back has two hands, then there's, you know, flag, American flags. So a lot of Tibetan people received that. So this is, you know, like, it's a very sad situation, very sad situations. So what I do, I just pray every day. I pray, I light candles, I pray, you know, I pray. So that's all I do. And very, like, but doing something inside, but first going to Tibet, for me, that's impossible. Even though I have American passport, they will not give me visa because it has, in the passport, I have Tibetan names. I have no chance. Even though I want to go, maybe do some little things, I cannot go because that will be difficult. So then, you know, going inside Tibet, that option is not there inside Tibet. You know, it's easy to travel, but, you know, now if there's no visa, so you cannot go. So then from the distance, what do you do? From the distance, so that your brother and sister, they are, you know, burning themselves. What do you do? You just pray, and, you know, soon their message will be heard throughout the world, and then they, you know, they get some attentions from the whole world. You know, they get some attentions, and, you know, maybe that will speed the process of dialogue between Tibetan and Chinese. It will speed up. It's been stopped, I think, now quite a while. So then, you know, basically, my brother and sister back in Tibet, they want to you to know, like, they don't have freedoms. You know? Not just them, a lot of, you know, our Chinese brothers and sisters back in China, they also don't have freedoms. When you read the news, you know, it's not just Tibetan. It's many, many people in that part of the world. So it might be Monday, like, to hope to do something. You know? So then this last part, please, you help. This is important question here. This is a very important question. What is it? Okay. So, yeah, then we stop. The Sarah says. She's the one who controls the time. Thank you.
So if you turn back to your white prayer book, to the first pink sheet. We'll say some dedication verses, but before we do, I'd like to read the prayers list. Prayers for a happy rebirth, all those killed by natural and man-made disasters, all the Tibetans who have been killed or have taken their own lives in the struggle for religious freedom, Venerable Tunden, Andrew Bartley, John Brandt, Tim Castaneda, Kim Duong's mother, Brenda McNeil Freeman, Dolores Lamancusa, Greg Shobchuk, Ninja the Cat, Job Search, Eve Ihara, Beth Andrew, Gary Kane, Daniel Cunningham, Harish Farma, Jenny First, Michael Fultz, Ed Godwin, Kate Harvey, Andrea Johnson, Lindsay McGrath, Brian Miller, Sandy Mitchell, Evelyn Morales, Catherine Myers, April Rocker, Tony Sloan, Rochelle Thompson, Lori Todd, SS, Anna Dean Silver, Sarah. Difficulties of body and her mind, Kabje Lama Zopa Rinpoche, who is manifesting health difficulties based on our karma. Kyabje Ling Rinpoche, Venerable Chirkila, all those harmed by natural and man-made disasters. For the Tibetan people and for the Chinese authorities, may the nonviolent path lead to full reconciliation and religious freedom. Clem William Aikens III, Denise Allen, Jim Barnes, A.J. Bartley's family, Becky, Shirley Bennett, John Brandt's family, Bill Burke, Ron Burroughs and family, Victoria Easterday Clark, Hester Clifford, Allegra Dahlquist, Larry Davis, Jack Doger, Kim Duong's family, Frank Ferreira, Tracy Finley, Carrie First, Matsja Godesha, Gary Goldberg, Mildred Gooch, Henry Greiner, Gannett Hagos and family, Hannah, Davis Helton, Lola Hilliard, Leslie and Joan Inman, Kenny Jackson, Buddy, J. Jasper, Serena, Cass, Ella, Andrew Johnson, Hannah Jones, Sugi Jones, Helen Kasanoff, Arthur Katz, Shanti and Kurt Latimer, Aunt Lori, Alyssa Luck, Carolyn and Granger Marley, Bobby Martin, Jameen Pandya, Jay Pandya, Lively Pasquay, Catherine Paul, Howard Perry, Mary Peterson, Aunt Polly, Sora Noel Quinlan and her family, Duncan Quinn, Rybush family, Richard Robson, Ruben family, Paula Sable, Albert Sants, Rosemary Cease, family of Greg Subchuk, Mamie Stark, David Underwood, Dion Washington, Jim and Travis, Claude and Vic Williams, Suzanne Williams, Judith Wormser, Casey the dog, Fabio the dog, Skippy the dog, Teddy the dog, Zeke the dog, and his human family. If you have any names you'd like to add, would you please say them now? May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merit. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with the mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drink. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be free. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. And the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All powerful Chenrey, Dzogchen Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. Savior of the snowland teachings and transmigratory beings, who extensively clarifies the path that unifies emptiness and compassion, to the lotus in the hand, Lord Tenzin Gyatso, I beseech, may all your holy wishes be fulfilled. The one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Alatai, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama, ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You uphold the subduer's moral way, who serve as the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjana's victorious doctrine. I masterfully accomplished magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior of myself and others, your disciples. Please, please live long. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
Yeah, I will say this mantra. You can take only 2 minutes. So whoever hears this mantra, read, write, touch, gets a lot of benefit, especially having some conversation with some parents, like then this also prevent from, like suicidal thought or untimely death. Okay, so since then I decide to recite this couple of mantras after every class at the center. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. Thank you.